This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So, welcome to Leicester Fan TV. Obviously, me and Reedy doing our match preview, first off, as we usually do every week. But, as you can see, there is a breaking title because of financial fair play, Reedy. We'll get into that, obviously, thanks to our sponsors, and after this short video, we'll get into it.
The Leicester City machine is on the march again!
Leicester Fan TV presents a variety of content, like fan discussions, match analysis, and engaging with Leicester fans worldwide. We want your views live. Thanks to our sponsors, Evrots, Follow Blinds, Pocker Pies, Pink Car Leasing, Distillers Direct, Hologram, Take Me, Nubian Co., and the Fox's Arms and Rainbows. We are live in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So, welcome, obviously, Reedy. Some interesting news over the past 24 hours, at the very least. We've heard a lot about us being deducted points, deducted money, but then also not because of EFL rules. From what we can understand, at this moment in time, there is a loophole because those numbers and the financial bookings that they're judging us off is based on Premier League incomes and outcomes. So by the sounds of it, really, the information could, you know, not affect us, but obviously we've seen a lot of posts from people like Rob Tanner, Owen from BBC Radio Leicester saying, you know, it's not quite out of the woods yet, you know, we're still at risk of some kind of financial deduction, maybe if that's a fine or a points deduction.
Yeah, obviously we're not experts on this. We don't know everything about it, and obviously, like you say, there's all the journalists still going out and saying it, we're still not out of the woods. But from what we understand, the last 3 years we've been in the Premier League, and the payments and all that from that year, them years, are obviously going to be a lot higher than we are in the Championship. And obviously there's requirements and limits where you could spend in the Premier League compared to the Championship. And now we've been relegated, and even though we're in top spot at the moment, looking like we're going up, Leicester have rejected to do a business plan to prove that we are eligible to not be charged with either a point deduction or even a payment fee of any kind. So it is what it is. Obviously, Leicester went to an independent party to try and see if they do are eligible to take this fine or a point deduction, and they've agreed that we aren't eligible. So
yeah, so like you said, we're reading some of the comments, some of people's opinions, because I said people might be a little bit better on it. LCFC number 4 says, if we face points deduction, how much can it be? Honestly, we don't know. If we were in for points deduction, we don't know how it would work, if it would be in the Premier League or this season in the Championship, or how many points that could be. Like I said, we don't really know on that one.
The main thing is that now we're in the EFL instead of the Premier League regulations. There's nothing that the Premier League could do. Obviously, and I know it's the EFL that's trying to give us some sort of point deduction or fine, but we were in the Premier League 3 years ago, the last 3 years. So yeah. we can't be done anything about it.
Yeah.
Yes, we've somehow created a loophole, and we've kind of, from what it looks like, got out of this issue. But then again, if they find another thing or they change their rules, you never know. We could be charged. So
yeah, like you said, we're not 100% sure. We'll get some comments up to see what people are saying. MDA Event says this is why parachute payments are imperative. Yes, obviously that's going to be a massive financial help to our situation. Obviously, based on the fact that there's no ifs, buts, and maybes this season, really. We 100% have to go up, otherwise financially the club will be struggling. Keep getting your comments in. We see you getting some good views. So get your comments in on what you think the situation is.
Scott says there as well, we were talking about this before we went live, the fact is we've gone down just as much as Leeds and Southampton. I think the limit in the EFL to spending limits is 13 million a year.
13 million a year is the financial records we could lose.
And I'm pretty sure Leeds and Southampton would be in the same boat if we have as well. So it is what it is. Again, there's been many, many charges over the last years. Yeah, Man City, to Chelsea, Everton, maybe Forest as well. It's all coming out now to all the other clubs.
I think a lot of the reason why I wouldn't say reluctant, I guess, going against EFL and saying that you're wrong is because you're allowed a 35 million net negative spend in the Premier League, obviously accumulating over 3 years. You have to be under the 105 million net loss.
And we are. We're only 84 million.
Yeah, to coincide with the Premier League rules. And obviously, unfortunately, we got relegated. The Championship is over half of that. You know, 13 million, like you're saying, that's a massive drop in how much financial income and outcome can be determined. But obviously, we're three-fourths into our first season in the Championship in 10 years, really. So the club, rightly so, I'd say, has done a loophole and said, we've been in this league for three-fourths of one season in the past 10 years. And even when you base it on a three-year record, if that's how they judge FFP and sustainability and stuff like that, it doesn't apply to the Championship. So I think we've heard stuff from Sky, and obviously watched that video, that they say the club's not under any regulations, but they are changing the rules. Whether that means it will apply to us is another story. I assume they're changing it because of us, but obviously, like I say, it's unfair to teams like Leeds and Southampton, who might be under some sort of scrutiny as well, because, you know, they've spent decent money, and obviously the parachute money. Again, we don't know what happens in the behind the scenes at the moment. We're the only club under this investigation. It does seem a bit of a snipe, I guess, to get, you know, a bit more of a hate towards Leicester than the other clubs. But who knows? We'll get some more comments. LCF number 4. Do you think this can affect some of the lads because the next fix is changing? Personally, I don't think it will, because it has nothing to do with the team and the management itself. It's to do with the higher up and the board and the owners of Leicester City. It's not got anything to do with what we see on the pitch. So they're still going to try and get up. And if anything, it's going to affect them to say, we really need to get up this season to, you know, put the bookies straight.
Yeah, again, if you look at the past teams that have gone down and got relegated, a lot of them are like teams that have just come up to come back down. And obviously it's the same for Luton, it's the same for Sheffield United, it's the same for Burnley. These teams will not have hit this cap because they just can't afford it. Whereas someone like Leicester, who's been in the Premier League for 10 plus years, it's obviously going to be a case that they can ask about it, but we can't affect that because we've got relegated. And it's like a Spurs going down. If they went down, they'd be in the even worse position as what we are now. They'd get fines or
know that one of the things that's also come out of this really is we were meant the March 1st was the official Championship financial record,
deadline
of having to report the finances in the club. And we reported it, and they've come back and said, you're in line to breach our rules come the end of June. Then we've pretty much said, we don't need to show you these, you know, records. These records are invalid to your standards because we're based on Premier League records. And by June 30th, fingers crossed, we should be back in the Premier League, and it would kind of be back into their financial situation rather than Championship. Like I said, it's a weird situation. I know the club have also declined to show a business plan, which pretty much means EFL want to know how we're going to make that money. So in some way, shape or form, we will be owing between EFL and Premier League. We have to owe or pay out a bit of money. That'll probably come from player sales, or even as simple as if we win the Championship, we're going to get a nice hefty sum to going up to the Premier League, as you know, as you tend to when you get promoted. So that's where the money could come from. But obviously, I think I'm right saying that can't be included in a business plan because it's no guarantee that we can.
No, of course. Yeah, it's not a guarantee, is it? So
there's no guarantee in that. But there is guarantees in selling players like Drewsbury Hall, who's at the club. I don't know if we will. Again, I think a lot of this is riding on us just guaranteeing getting back into the Premier League next season. Let's pull up some new comments. How does it affect current players out of contract, NDD, etc., and offering contracts, especially as we don't know what league we'll be in?
Well, for me anyway, a majority of the players that are going to be out of contract this season are going to be going. Wilfred NDD, even if we're in the Premier League, I don't see him staying. People like Kelechi, and actually I think he's out of contract. He will not be staying. We can't sell them. They literally are on a free, so we're going to lose out money on them either way. One thing we haven't mentioned is if we do go up and we do have to pay some sort of fine or payment to resolve this, it will just mean that we're going to have less to spend in the summer to recuperate into Premier League.
Yeah, that is obviously some of these players, even like Vestergaard, who we would consider signing on a new contract. I mean, the thing is, there's no transfer fee because they've already signed it. Obviously, the wages would be massively cut for someone like Vestergaard. But players like Ndidi, Iheanacho, to get the, you know, get the numbers straight, and because they're on high wages and not really performing, and probably looking like they want to go anyway, that they probably will not sign a new contract. With Jamie Vardy, club legend, but he is one of those massive factors on 140 grand a week in the Championship. You know, that's probably the highest ever wage in the history of a player in the Championship. But again, those numbers are based on we were fighting for top eight and we had a massive blip of a season last season, which is why we are under this scrutiny. Scott again says, interesting what you say, Sam, about the club has the arrogance. Yeah, this obviously is riding very much on going into the Premier League. I think a lot of these, because we don't technically have to report the numbers until the end of June, we have a lot of time to get the numbers straight. And again, the club's probably banking on us getting promoted for a good chunk of money coming into the club, players leaving. That would be the real thing is, if we weren't to get promoted, really, we would be in a massive financial mess. We would have to sell everyone and pretty much play the academy team next season because that's what all we could afford to do. So realistically, if we don't go up now, it is a very daunting time for Leicester if we were to stay in the Championship season, which, you know, for me, it's a massive boost to the lads that they need to, you know, kick up the backside to start performing a little bit better. Otherwise, you know, they could, and Enzo himself, they could help the club not get promoted. I mean, I don't want to sound harsh. We're still top by 3 points, but we've got a very tough running, really. There's obviously some easy games, but then we've still got some. Like Hull this weekend, it's a tough one. You know, their last five games, they've not lost. They've drawn 3 and 1-2. And we just really need to stay above that, you know, the tide, and at least be in second place to get an automatic promotion for the numbers to be making more sense to the club.
Yeah, like I say, someone commented above about the fact that it might impact the players. If anything, it might be a boost to them. Like you say, we need to start winning games more. We need to make sure we do get promotion in some kind, even if it isn't first place, just to make sure we don't get into the financial mess. Because like you say, if we do stay in this Championship after this season, we are going to be a mess. And like I say, we're not going to have any players to try and get back to the Premier League again if we don't go up this season. So it's a big risk this year, and we've just got to make sure we finish off very, very well.
Yeah. Facebook user here said, Leicester making that challenge of the EFL rules have actually done clubs a favour and forced EFL to bring their rules in line with the Premier League. Obviously, I've read a handful of comments. A lot of people saying, obviously, when you read the official terms that Leicester tweeted and shared on social media, it's difficult to understand what they actually mean.
Because, I thought it was a bad thing to begin with.
Because they use very technical terms, obviously, to be, I guess, politically correct with the financial lines. Is it a favour for clubs? Potentially, it definitely means it more in line, because what we said, or what the club said, is that you're wrong, your own rules are wrong, and there's the loophole. So I think we've kind of escaped this effect.
Because we've been aligning with the Premier League rules for the last 10 years.
Yeah, and again,
now we're apparently failing the EFL.
It makes sense, because again, it's one of those things where we've obviously had a lot of good this season, and we've got the most expensive team in the Championship. So no wonder the EFL are probably trying to squeeze some money out of Leicester, or some financial payback for, you know, oh, you've got an expensive team. But again, when it rules with the guidelines of, well, we've been working under Premier League for the past 10 years now, prior to the Championship season we're in, where do the rules apply to different clubs who like us, who have gone down when we shouldn't have gone down, really on the money and the players we had? We shouldn't have gone down, but we did, and this is the situation we're in now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I say, we are, like, I know we're not as high a level as Spurs, but it's like Spurs going down. I think if you saw them going down, you wouldn't expect it, but they'd be in so much trouble money wise and just financial wise that they would be in the same situation as us. So it is what it is. I think we've kind of capped off the majority of what this breaking news has been. Obviously, hopefully there'll be more information coming out soon regarding any more information. But as of now, it seems like we're out of in the clear at the moment.
For now, obviously, like I said, Rob Tanner and Owen Palmer Atkin, both very reliable and very consistent sources in this. Obviously, we're not 100% sure. We'll be moving on to the team tactics in a minute. Like I said, we'll be going into... Sorry, just sorting it all out. We'll be going into the team. We're going to collectively do the team together because of time and this. I'll just pull up the last few comments on the FFP situation. What's the latest on ground development? Very good question, Graham. We have zero clue. I can only imagine.
If we don't go up, it won't happen.
But also, the financial situation. I don't know how much the sustainability in FFP comes into play when building, because building a bigger ground is going to cost more. But I highly doubt the cost of making it, extending the ground. I think it was about 8,000. I think it's what we're going for, 8,000 to 10,000 extending it. I highly doubt that comes into any FFP scrutiny, because it is just one of those things, a bit like the training ground, I believe, isn't a factor of, you know, the money in and out. It's just out of the owner's pockets to make a nice training. That's pretty much plain and simple on that one. Have a look. Reading Sam. Let's have a look. Reading Sam. This is the same kind of breaking news. A Sense deal. Yeah.
Just a mess.
Random. We have no idea what's going on. We're reading between the lines. We're reading between very fancy words. Obviously, I mean, really, probably got half a brain put between us. So, you know. Well, anyway, we'll move on to the team for Hull, really. Obviously, it's a massive game before international break, and we're going to collectively come up with a team that we think is suitable.
Yeah, so obviously in goal, I think there's no question about it. Brilliant save on Tuesday night to keep us in the winning ways. So I'm guessing Hermanson's in goal.
Yeah, Hermanson, again, very solid. He tends to keep us in games. Like I said, that amazing save was pretty much the only highlight alongside Vardy's goal in Leicester City's.
Mm-hmm. Scott says Stolicic in goal. Again, he's not done much wrong when he's been playing in the cup. Here's one for you. Obviously, I know we're talking about the whole game, but coming into the Chelsea game in a few weeks' time, do you start Hermanson or do you start Stolicic? Because you've got to go full out in this Chelsea game. Start Hermanson in this game and then the week after? Because obviously, the week after is
again,
Chelsea.
Talking about the situation we're in, the further we progress in the FA Cup, the more money that comes into the club.
So you want to be getting further.
The club could be saying, listen, we're in the quarterfinals now. The further we go, that's an extra 2-3 million here, 2-3 million here. I don't think it's much for progressing in the FA Cup, but I still think it's in the couple of millions. I'd say not a lot. That's obviously a lot, but
better than what
in
it is,
football terms, it's not. But obviously, if it can help us, you know, find the money in the club rather than, you know, having to sell the players, that'd be more beneficial to us. So again, like against Chelsea, it could be Hermanson, it could be Jakob again. I'm not pronouncing his last name because I can't. For me, both keepers very solid, and he's a decent option to pick up. But Hermansson for Hull, definitely.
Yeah, we'll move into the back three then, or back four if you want to sort it like that. Yeah. We've both agreed on two centre backs, and we'll debate the other one. But because
we'll let the comments help us out. With
yes, Yannick Vestergaard is obviously back.
Without Vestergaard in the team, especially against QPR, you could see the structure crumbled a little bit. Obviously, we played Nelson, and I thought he had an okay game, but he wasn't as, I'd probably say, wasn't much of a leader out there. That team that we played was very much who's taking control, and with Vestergaard, you know, he's a little bit older, and
I think with the system as well, he is one of the key players. Obviously, I know he's been a lot better this season, but I just feel like when he's not there, you can see the difference in quality of how the balls move or how the passing goes. So, yeah, for me, Vestergaard has to be in there now. He's back eligible for the position.
Yeah.
Left-hand side, we both agreed as well. Doyle.
Yeah, again.
I think Justin's not been great, has he?
Who played against Sunderland?
It was Doyle.
Justin, I'm pulling it back to the QPR game. Justin, I think really we could both see when attacking, we said Justin is a much better attacker than defender. And against QPR, his every time we try to lift the ball over the top for Mavididi, I mean, to be fair, Mavididi also didn't have a good game. But every time the ball went out over for a goal kick, and that must have happened 6 or 7 times, kind of.
I just don't.
He doesn't suit
that role, does he? Yeah, obviously. When he fills in, he does well.
We play with rotating defenders, and I think Doyle. But when we signed him, he is an out and out centre back. Yes. So moving into this left centre back role, I think he fits in better, and it obviously means we have an attack and we have an defence rather than Justin mixing into the attack and defence, and it might have an amazing game. And Doyle, he didn't have an amazing game against Sunderland, but he also didn't do anything wrong. So he's one of those players which, you know, he was neither good nor bad. So again, starting V Hawks, I think he's the best option.
Yeah, and then the debatable one in the right centre back. I've gone for FaZe, you've gone for Cody.
Yeah, so
there's fights on either end. Yeah. Cody started the last two games, in the cup and in against QPR. Do you coming back into this game? Because I don't think FaZe has deserved to get dropped in my eyes.
I disagree in the fact that I think FaZe he's not been bad, but he's also not been great. I think he's just been average. For me, the last three times Cody has started, we've had 3 wins and 3 clean sheets. So for me, I think he's kind of undroppable for the whole game. In my eyes, I think Cody should be into. He's more of a leader than Fies. Fies is a very mardy player. He gets upset and angry. He's not going his way, and you can see that in his emotions. In my eyes, I would say start Cody. You're saying Faze. We're going to let you guys decide in the comments. The first comment that comes up, we'll pick that player. Obviously, I don't mind having Faze in there. I could see him play.
I think the one reason why I'd say I wouldn't have Cody in there is because I think he would suit more the middle role where Vestergaard sits. And on the right, I just feel like he might be caught out a bit more when he is, because obviously he will be that space role when they attack. And I just don't think he'll be out there to be attacking, whereas Smart Faze can get back when he needs to. So that's just my opinion. I think he's a bit faster and he's a bit more keen-eyed on the ball. I'm guessing no one's going to mention anything because...
Oh, there you go. It said Cody.
There we go. We're going to
stick Cody. Obviously, this is just our prediction, a little bit different way we're doing it today. Obviously, we would have two different teams, but talking about the club's financial situation for the first half of the show, we thought we'd move it a little bit quicker and do it together. So
I think we can bash through this next bit quite easily, can't we?
Yeah, Pereira's out still, so Chowdhury comes in team. Winks, again, very solid player. He's going to stay in the team. So those two stay in, nothing wrong, both doing very well so far. Moving into the attack, I think we'll move into the midfield because that is the part that's tricky. I think we're both in agreement that Jamie Vardy should be the striker to start against Hull.
We'll put him straight in there because, again, don't get me wrong, I don't think Dak has done too much wrong recently, obviously, yes, but I think at this end part of the season, and I completely agree, we need someone who know we can finish.
Yeah.
And as much as Vardy's missed a few scissors, 9 times out of 10, he will hit the target and most likely go in the goal. Like we did on Tuesday night, it was a heading goal straight into the net, and you wouldn't think of him anyone else, would you? So
we said Vardy's... I think that he's got the most goals to minutes played in the Championship, overtaking Daka's record, actually, for that. He's not played many minutes this season, but when he does, he scores a goal every 100 minutes, which is obviously pretty much every game.
Never enough,
yeah. With the extra time added on in today's... A lot of minutes added on the Championship. I think we're in agreement with some players. Now, I think before we move into the midfield role, we've both agreed that Jusbriel is one of the only attacking mids. I've obviously been a very big fan of him this season, but I'll be happy to, well, not happy to admit, but I will admit that in the past 2 months, he has been very subpar and he's not putting the performance in. He's not been turning the players like he had been doing earlier in the season. He's kind of lost that little bit of edge. I don't know if that's because we're playing a lot of games and he's a bit more tired, or he's just losing his concentration, or other teams are finding it. Teams like QPR and Middlesbrough, really, and even Sunderland in some aspects, they sit very deep and they do have two or three players in and around those attacking midfielder roles. So it's difficult, but we'll see. Hull away, obviously, they're going to come and attack us. Fingers, what we'd prefer. And Hull are doing very good. And hopefully that allows Jusbriel to have more space in that midfield role, because we know we need a big performance from him this weekend.
Yeah, like I said, before we went live, I was saying that, but I just don't think Jusbriel has been at his level recently. I think at times he tries to do too much and it just makes it worse for him. His passing, he takes times, and I think to keep hold of the ball, he has to kind of spin around people, which then again, he loses the ball. So he just needs to be a bit more quicker and a bit more cleaner with what he does. And like I say, at times he does look like a Madison Rowe where he can make them passes, but then other times he's just too slow on the ball. So we move into that other centre attacking mid role. We both disagreed on this.
We've both picked
him before. Players,
and I think Ndidi we need to talk about, because yes, for both of us, we haven't put him in our teams, believe it or not. But he did feature. Again, I believe Owen did say that Enzo said he was not meant to feature against Sunderland. But, you know, we needed a bit more of a leadership and security in that role. So, I mean, for me, that is a bit of a weird thing that Enzo... I always think managers are really weird for putting players on the bench that aren't fit to play. Because if Ndidi did get an injury or he wasn't quite ready to come back for that game and he gets out for another 2 months, that would really screw us up. We could do with him massively, Reedy. Is he fit enough for the game is the big question. Because if he was, I think he'd be in both of our teams.
He was. I don't think he was fit enough to start or even play against Sunderland, to be honest. I wasn't sure why he was on the bench. But again, if he's fit enough to play, he's fit enough to be on the bench. So that is the logic. If he's fit enough to be on the bench, he will start, hopefully. So for me and you, both of us, I think we would put him in.
We've got here our own little sticky notes of teams. I only would put Ndidi in the team. I've put Kelechi Iheanacho on, but thinking about it, I would put Ndidi in the team. For me, he featured against Sunderland. So for me, that's ensuring that he is getting fit and he's ready to be playing. He's a massive loss for us. So for me, if he played against Sunderland, that for me says he's fit to be in and around the team. So in my eyes, I'd start him against Hull if he's ready.
I think I agree with this Facebook user though. I think start Akgon and be on it indeed if required. The only thing I'd say is I just don't want to rush him back, because if he isn't fully fit and he's only like 70-80%, he goes on the pitch and he gets injured again. That might be a big issue. Where if you give him 30 minutes at the end of the game and bring Akgon off, that could be a better help
to
him.
It's weird because we're not going to, obviously Hull's a tough game. Again, we'll bring it in. At Gunnar and Diddy comments, someone decide who you think should start against Hull. We'll move on to the wingers roles
whilst we wait for
the comments to come in. We both agreed for the same wingers. On the other way around. So
yes,
I've said Mark Albrighton on the left side. Obviously, that was the side when, you know, we won the Premier League. That was where he was playing all season. And Fatawa on the right side. Obviously, I am dropping Mavididi. I've said it for the past couple of games, like you have, Reedy. We've both dropped him because...
He's been awful. He was awful against Sunderland as well.
Yeah, again,
he didn't deserve to play.
They're not doing much, and I think he's getting a bit too comfortable. Like Jake said a few times throughout the season as well, that he's been very predictable in his movements, and I think predictability was okay if he was able to pull off his quality. Like, you knew what he was going to do, but he had the quality to do it. As of the past month, I'd say, of games, we know what he was going to do, but, you know, the defenders also know what he's going to do, and it's every time he tries to get around them, it not really worked.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you, actually. I put him the other way around, but thinking about it, Fatu plays better on the right, on the left. On the right.
It's
so
Albrighton
needs to play in that left role, hopefully, from the form of the year we won the league. So I am going to agree with you, Mark Albrighton, on the left-hand side.
I think we have a decision on our central attacking midfielder from Scott Chapman. First comment I can see. So we'll put Albrighton and Fatawa in, and obviously we'll pull up Scott's comment. On the he says Atgun got to ease Ndidi back in, but I'd like to give Kel a chance in that role. Is that mad? No, it's not.
Because, no, I think we agree with
again,
Kel.
I don't know if you can see on our little sticky notes, I've put CI, obviously, Kelechi Iheanacho. I said we could start him, but I've kind of double guessed myself and said if Ndidi played against Sunderland, he's potentially fit to play against Hull, but. Atgun, not the worst option. Reedy, his games are numbered. I'm right in saying that 25 games and we have to sign him for 10 million. He's definitely 2-3 games out from breaking that and playing those 25 games. But I don't think the club will want to sign him with the financial situation we're in. Reedy very quickly is going to pull up Atgun's games played at Leicester whilst we keep talking. We could really do without playing him and signing him. Not signing him, really, because we by the way, can't really afford it.
I'm not too sure if his obligation to buy is that, because I've heard many times that we thought it was that gone. But then people were telling us it was Fatawa, and that's why we now have the obligation to buy him, and we have to buy him. So I'm not too sure completely if that's the case with Atgun, but... As of now, he's played 17 games in Championship. He's played 3 games in the FA Cup, which is 20 games, and he's played 2 games.
So
in
technically,
the,
he has
in the
2
EFL
more
Cup.
Games.
So he's got 3 games before he hits 25.
If that, obviously, if that's true, if that, oh, I can't get my words out. If that signing fee of playing those games is true, then it could happen. But
Are we agreeing that Atgun to start and Ndidi to come on?
I think people are mixed, but yeah, let's put Atgun in the team.
I don't think Atgun was that bad against Sunderland either. And I think while he's taking the role of that position until Ndidi's fully back fit, I think he is probably the best option we've got. Obviously, like you, me and you both agree that we probably could put Kel there. We know that Enzo won't put him there.
Yeah, again, like I said,
we're
trying to be in the mind of Enzo. I mean, putting Mark Albright in there is probably the most ridiculous thing that we've done. Mavididi is more than likely going to start, to be honest.
Again, last comment of the day, then we'll go to Jono and say that why not Atgun and Kel? KDH's been poor. Again, I agree, but we know that Jusbol is not going to get dropped.
But he's still an out-and-out attacking.
He's undroppable. He's one player that he's been in the team.
And again, it's one of those things where like we saw last season with the likes of Madison. I know Madison, a different level of player, different caliber of player. But in that aspect of James Madison is the only player in that role. So if he has a bad performance, it doesn't matter because we don't have anyone else to play. It's kind of the same with Drewsby Hall. Maybe he's got a little bit complacent. I don't think that's the case. I think it's just been a little bit tougher. I think we've been found out a little bit more. So I genuinely think that the formation that Enzo is putting us in is why Jusbol has been underperforming, because I don't think it's down to his quality. I think it's more down to the fact that he's had a lot more players around him. Sometimes, obviously, like I said, when he needs to make the final killer pass, he's a little bit slow, but we've seen that from a lot of players. I think it was Sunderland or maybe QPR, where I think it was Jusbol ran into the box and he was inside, you know, the 10-15 yard line. And it's pretty much everyone saying, just shoot it. And then he tries to pass it to Atgun and obviously goes wayward. It's just one of those things where some of these players need to have a football brain. And I also think Enzo needs to allow them to shoot a little bit more. I know he's not happy with some of the shots. I'm not saying Fatawu doing a one touch over the head, bam, it's a very double Z. I'm not saying that. But, you know, in these situations where I know if the extra pass might be on, I still think we should be shooting a little bit more. Because I think these players have a lot of confidence and do have a lot of ability to find the ball in the net. I think we're overdoing it too many times.
Yeah, I agree. There you go, guys. There are our team. That is the breaking news as well. Hopefully, if we hear anything more, we will get back to you as soon as possible. But as of now, we are in the clear from what we know of. And obviously, there's the team for Hull. Again, Lox is probably going to be doing a show tonight, previewing the game properly. But we'll see you all on the next show. See you in a bit, guys. Cheers.
Thanks for watching Leicester Fan TV. Thanks to our sponsors, Everards, Barlow Blinds, Booker Pies, Pink Car Listing, Distillers Direct, Hologram, Take Me, Nubian Cow, The Fox's Arms and Rainbows. Run by the fans, for the fans. Follow us on socials at Leicester Fan TV and visit leicesterfantv.com for all the latest news, views and videos.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.